Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the release of Medicare payment information that has been blocked since 1979 that reveals $26 million in payments to an ophthalmologist in Florida for seeing 900 patients and a cardiologist who got $23 million in Medicare payments in 2012, 80 times the average billing for cardiologists. Max Richmond, a former staff director of the Senate Committee on Aging and president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, joins us to discuss how much this alarming data will be used as ammunition for those wanting to cut Medicare and how much could be saved by going after these apparent fraudsters. Then we'll go to Doha, Qatar to speak with Clayton Swisher, the manager of investigative journalism for Al Jazeera, who is the author of The Truth About Camp David and The Palestine Papers, The End of the Road, which is based on the 1,600 files of leaked confidential records of the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks entrusted to him and published by Al Jazeera and The Guardian in 2011. We'll discuss his article at the Huffington Post, Isn't It Time to Try Something Else?, and assess the possibility of using the latest collapse of the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks as an opportunity to try a different approach to the bankrupt decades-long peace process that has been all about process but not peace. Then finally, Eric Liu, the founder of Citizen University, who served as a White House speechwriter and policy advisor for President Clinton, joins us to discuss his article at CNN, How America is Rigged for the Rich. We will look into how Paul Ryan, whose budget wants to cut the top tax rate from 39.6% to 25%, has the wrong focus when he asserts that we have a culture of poverty in America when it appears we have a culture of concentrated wealth, and that picking on the poor misses the point that the playing field is increasingly rigged against those who aspire for the American dream. Joining us now is Max Richmond, who is a former staff director of the Senate Special Committee on Aging and a 16-year veteran of Capitol Hill. Currently, he is president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, one of the nation's most influential senior advocacy and education membership organizations. Welcome to Background Briefing, Max Richmond.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
And the lead article in a number of papers across the country, including the Los Angeles Times, titled Release of Medicare Doctor Payments Show Some Huge Payouts. And there was a picture of this doctor in Florida, in West Palm Beach, Florida, where there are a lot of retirees. He topped the list by taking in more than $26 million to treat fewer than 900 patients. Apparently, that's 61 times the average Medicare payout of $430,000 for an ophthalmologist. And then second on the list is a Florida cardiologist who received $23 million in Medicare payments in 2012, which is 80 times what the average for a cardiologist is. So these headlines and this information, Max Richmond, is very likely to be, you know, grist for the mill and be a gift to the enemies of Medicare.
Well, I hope that's not what happens, because this this information is really long overdue, and it's I think it's a credit to the Health and Human Services Department and Center for Medicare and Medicaid that they've made this available to the public. I know there was opposition to releasing this from the medical community, but this is going to be a big positive step for the Medicare program and for beneficiaries, for consumers. So, you know, let's learn from this. So, consumers will now, especially if a method is devised to distribute this information in a way that's really usable by Medicare beneficiaries, so that they can actually compare doctors and treatments in a way they've never been able to do until now. We're not quite at that point of refinement of the data yet, but I hope it's coming. I was on a conference call with the department today, and we urge that there will be an avenue to disseminate this information in a form that is useful to the beneficiary. But just as important, I think it's going to help us identify where there is possible overuse of medical procedures. I think fraud investigators are going to find some of this very useful in identifying, just from the volume of procedures by certain members of the medical community is not conclusive of any kind of overuse of medical devices or techniques, but I think it's going to provide an avenue to look at where there may be some abuses. So I think we should be grateful that we have this information, that the public has it, that those that can look at how Medicare is spending its money can hopefully focus on ways that the money is misspent. Because let's face it, you're right. There are and have been for many, many decades opponents of the Medicare program, just as there are opponents of the Affordable Care Act. But what we, instead of cutting the Medicare program, let's find out where we can save money and use those resources in the most efficient and positive way possible. So I'm hoping that this information will be a positive for both the Medicare program and for the consumer. That we're going to do our part to see that is a direction it goes.
Well, Max Richmond, it does look as if this is also a little, perhaps even a lot, to do with money in politics as well. It turns out that this ophthalmologist in Florida, Dr. Salomon Melgen, the ophthalmologist who billed the government $26 million to treat fewer than 900 patients, he is a heavy political donor to Senate Robert Menendez, the Democratic senator of New Jersey. And apparently federal officials are looking into him. I mean, it's pretty surprising that somebody could bill that much. I mean, the guy must have been working 48 hours a day.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't know exactly how much he worked. We don't know how much of, for example, did he have of a high volume because he oversaw other medical residents or physician's assistants, and those bills are incorporated. I don't know. But you know, on its face, it is obviously a lot of money going to one practitioner. But I think it's important to understand, and I know there have been some investigations into this particular individual. But I think we, instead of jumping the gun, we ought to be sure we know what we're talking about. And as I say, you know, even if there is if there's a small community that is abusing the process, this information will help us identify that, and that's a good thing, because we need to start looking at how to improve the Medicare program, and there isn't a lot of extra money to do that, but there may be some resources that can be derived from overpayments if they can be identified. And, you know, I don't know if you know, but I do a lot of town hall meetings with seniors around the country, with members of Congress mostly, and I keep hearing, why doesn't Medicare cover vision or dental or hearing aids? These are so important. There's very little money to expand the program. But if there are ways to identify savings, that are money that's now, resources that are now being spent in a way that is not the best, maybe we can shift some of that money into what's really needed, some of the gaps in what Medicare does cover. So I'm hoping that we can get some good out of this information. You know, transparency was kind of a hallmark, one of the hallmarks of the Affordable Care Act. And I think this just continues on that path of transparency. And generally, the expression that sunlight is the best disinfectant, I think transparency here will be positive. I'm hoping it will.
Again, I'm speaking with Max Richmond, who's a former staff director of the Senate Special Committee on Aging and a 16-year veteran of Capitol Hill. Currently, he's the president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, one of the nation's most influential senior advocacy and education membership organizations. So what was the reason then for the decades of secrecy in terms of this list of doctors and what they were billing? that goes, it was legally blocked back in 1979, so it's obviously taken a long time to get the transparency
right.
that you just mentioned.
Well, yes. It's my understanding that the medical community did what it could to prevent this this kind of information from being made public. Part of the argument that was made is we had to be sensitive to medical privacy, and there was concern. This was the argument. I'm not saying I bought it, but it was the argument for blocking the release of this information, you know, citing privacy concerns, possible potential for misuse of this information. But a federal judge ruled last year that it could be made public. The information was there. It just was not made public. So I think it's interesting that the medical community, specifically the American Medical Association, did not appeal that. They thought the time had come to acquiesce, and they stopped trying to use the legal process to block releasing this information.
So, Max Richman, apparently the majority, overwhelming majority of doctors billing the government bill in very modest amounts, and apparently 2% of healthcare providers account, but nevertheless 2% of healthcare providers account for 23% of the Medicare fees, according to this new data that's now been made available to the public. So it sounds like the investigators at least can, you know, their focus can be narrow now. You just go after the 2%, right, and start auditing
them.
Well,
I think there are other issues that investigators pursue, but I think it does provide a useful tool to, on the surface, at least begin identifying where there's a large volume and are these are there doctors that perform many more tests than other doctors in the same general environment, and that would be a sign that more research needs to be done to whether there has been abuse of some kind or fraud. But you're right. Most practitioners of medicine are paid, I think it's less than $60 a visit by a Medicare, a reimbursement by a Medicare patient. So, you know, most doctors are not overpaid, I don't think, by Medicare. Many of them think that it's barely enough to keep up with the actual cost of providing care and making a small amount of profit. But there may be abuse, and this information will help fraud investigators, and it will help consumers, Medicare beneficiaries, sort through some of this information once it's provided in a clear format for them.
Well, just on the surface, if the Medicare billing for 2012 totals $99 billion paid to these healthcare providers, and if 23% of them, or 2%, responsible for 23% of the billing, then you can just do the math, and that could save the taxpayer $20 billion, or $20 billion could go into what you're talking about, particularly dental care, which is not covered. And one of the
absolutely. I mean, I think it's worth exploring, but you know, we need to make sure we're comparing apples and apples. You know, an office visit, routine office visit, you wouldn't expect it to have the same reimbursement rate for an ophthalmological surgery procedure or or a radiation procedure. So we have to, it's really the, what I think if this will be very useful in looking at, are there identifiable practitioners who, based on these numbers, are using excessive medical procedures and doing so just to run up the bill. And I think this information will be useful.
Well, Max Richman, I thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I appreciate the invitation. Thank you so much.
Again, I've been speaking with Max Richmond, who's a former staff director of the Senate Special Committee on Aging, a 16-year veteran on Capitol Hill, and currently he's president and CEO of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, one of the nation's most influential senior advocacy and education membership organizations. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about the collapsed Israeli-Palestine peace talks and whether it's time to try something else.